You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Today, my guest is Steve Lindemann. Steve received a Harvard BA in 1956 and a Wharton MBA in 1960. After 6 years as a marketing research analyst, he became part of a small family business in 1967 until retiring in 1999. He then devoted his time to progressive causes, extensive reading, and since 2005, began writing on vital world and national topics. They include war and peace, American imperialism, corporate dominance, political persecutions, and a range of other social, economic, and political issues. In early 2007, he began regular radio hosting and is now host of the Progressive Radio News Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. He wrote the books How Wall Street Fleeces America and co-authored The Iraq Quagmire. His articles are frequently found at one of my favorite websites, www.globalresearch.ca, and he has his own blog, which is www.sjlindemannblogspot.com, and we'll mention that again at the end of the show. So let's welcome Steve to the show now. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Oh, Lance, doing well. I'm delighted to be on with you.
Oh, you know, I discovered you really by accident because I was just kind of doing my thing on the internet, and I ran across your blog, and I thought, this guy is really sharp. He's nailing it. And I couldn't stop reading, so I had to write you to ask if you'd be on the show. So, and I was just listening to one of your radio shows, and you are nailing it, and you've got your fingers on the pulse, and I'm really delighted to be able to talk to you today. So, welcome to the show.
Well, it's really terrific to be on, Lance. I've gotten very committed to what I'm doing. I can make it easy for your listeners to find my blog. I originally set it up only for myself. I set it up to keep all my articles in chronological order so I could go back and look at things in case I've researched something and I want to use the information again. I can find it, but over time, a lot of other people use it as well. And the easy way to access my blog is just Google my last name, which is what I do to access it, Lindemann, L-E-N-D-M-A-N. Not a lot of Lindemans around, so usually pops up right on top.
All right. Well, you know, I was thinking you have a grasp on everything, just about the politically, medically, and financially. We can start with any of those. What do you know? We have elections coming up soon, so obviously the economy is a big issue because the powers that be have been fleecing the country since the beginning of time, probably since I was born. What do you see as one of the most important issues for us here in America to begin to tackle and be aware of?
Well, there are so many, Lance, and
I know.
Not only are U.S. elections coming up on the 6th of November, but I wrote two other articles. One I just got out a short time ago. We have sham U.S. elections coming up. Israel has sham elections coming up in January. And I discovered that there are sham Palestinian elections coming up this month. This weekend, as a matter of fact, ahead of U.S. elections. So we have a triple sham going on. There's probably more I haven't discovered yet, but I
probably
must say,
let's find out who's behind the sham. Who are the controllers running these things? Because obviously there are puppet masters pulling the strings to these events.
Oh, they sure are. And it really is virtually the same in so many places.
Yeah.
And I summarize it in two words, Lance. I call it money power. The power of money is the supreme power, literally. It's like the air in our lungs or the blood in our veins. And whoever controls money controls everything. Every activity of government, commerce, there is nothing anyone can think of that is not involved with money. So the money string pullers are the ones who control everything, imperial wars to all the domestic policies, everything. And it's the same, well, Palestinians basically have nothing. They're under the thumb of Israel, so Israel controls it. But money power in Israel is controlling what's going on there, across Europe, in America, in Canada, in many other places. And the only difference is in the few places in the world that have public banking systems, which is a state operation, but it works for the benefit of the state. And if you benefit the state, you benefit the economy. In theory, everybody should benefit. It doesn't always work out that way, but
right.
it should, and it absolutely has done that in many places where public banking has existed in the past. And there's one state in America, the only state, Lance, that has a public banking system, North Dakota. And it's got nothing to do with the size of the state. It would work just as well in any of the other 49. And in 2008, this was in my Wall Street book, in 2008, during the height of the financial/economic crisis, North Dakota had the highest budget surplus in its history. Other states were raising taxes and laying people off and doing this and that and everything else to hurt people. North Dakota gave a rebate to all of its residents.
Wow, I did not know that.
It's really amazing.
I live in California, where we're just basically we're on a shoestring on the way out to bankruptcy, pretty much.
California is in very, very bad shape, and California could have the same kind of prosperity as North Dakota. They know all about public banking. They have investigated it. I think the state legislature had some interest in it, but Governor Jerry Brown shot the whole business down. A Democrat. A Democrat governing like a Republican.
Right.
Well, that's the issue nationally, Lance, in terms of the November 6th elections.
Yeah.
I don't see a heck of a lot of difference, no matter who wins.
Well, you might be right about that. Time will tell. I did see a pretty scathing article that Gordon Duff wrote on Veterans Today, and there was a video that was about Romney and his connections to Bush and the various cartels, and that was pretty damning information. But, of course, that's not going to get out on the mainstream media anytime soon. And, you know, these people have their acts down. And it is an act.
Oh, it really is. Can I give you a little sidebar comment?
Of course.
I made contact yesterday with someone who follows my writing. And I was doing an interview with somebody in Washington on radio. And the host said to me, so-and-so would like to make contact with you. And he wanted my email address. I said, on the one hand, it's on the bottom of every article I write, but I gave the host my email address. She passed it on, and shortly afterwards, this individual called me. He said he didn't really know, but he had a passing acquaintance with Obama back at Harvard when he was in one graduate school, and Obama was in the law school. And he, if I got the story straight, he heard him speak once at the law school, but he misunderstood his name. He missed the O, and he thought his name was Bama. And if you pronounce it Bama, it's a slur more than anything else. And the fellow who called me was black, and of course Obama is black. But Bama, and he heard him talk, and he said, well, I mean, this guy was saying all the things that the corporatists like to hear, you know, that kind of stuff. And he said, this guy is going far into the system. in the wrong, going far in the wrong way in terms of what he's going to do to ordinary people. And he really nailed him way back when Obama was at Harvard Law School.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Wow. Well, you know, we have so many things. Well, as you said, there's so many things going on. There's talk of an October surprise. We know that the powers that be are pulling the strings to basically all the global disasters, and even weather manipulation. So we're really living in a prison planet, as Alex Jones likes to say.
Yeah, we really are. Absolutely.
And the vaccinations, and the GMO and chemtrail. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But it does seem that it would be almost impossible for this fake economy to continue. And you must have written about that in your book on Wall Street Fleecing America. You must have some information that would indicate that this is not a sustainable situation.
Oh, absolutely true. It is absolutely impossible to sustain this. The only issue, Lance, is when will a whole house of cards come apart? And I don't know. I'm not certain that anybody has the answer to that. But what's going on is the entire system is being manipulated. I think it's more than just printing a lot of money, but there's an awful lot of that going on. But basically what's involved is everybody that is smart enough to know realizes this thing is unsustainable, but you can keep the dirty game going. You can keep kicking the can down the road. And the longer they do that and the more money they print and all the other stuff that they're doing, they talk about bailing out banks and addressing the deficits of these countries across Europe and in America. Well, the more they get in bed with the IMF to supposedly reduce their debt, the higher their debt goes. It's like blowing up a balloon, Lance. You're going to reach a point where the thing's going to explode.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what's going to happen. America has a safer system. Under the Fed, they can print money a lot longer than they can in other countries. But if Europe blows up, and my God, Greece is a basket case, it's a zombie. Mm-hmm. Spain is almost as bad. You've got other countries that are in terrible shape. They're going to join the club of zombies to be. If these countries blow up, if Europe goes, America goes, so goes the world. There's
That's
no
right.
escape from this.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Well, in a way, a part of me wonders if that wouldn't be a beneficial thing to have Wall Street, the plug pulled on Wall Street and the artificial manipulation of pulling every last penny out of the American economy and having people suffer and have to work two jobs, three jobs, four jobs, and then you've got phony diseases and phony cures. We're really like lab rats living in a fool's paradise.
Absolutely. The absolute number one issue, Lance, is for money power to go back into public hands where it belongs. The bankers, before the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, but virtually 100 years under the Federal Reserve, they have proved conclusively many times over that they completely made a mess of the entire system. I would say after a century, it's time to call a halt to this nonsense, knock them out of the game, make the Federal Reserve a real Federal Reserve. It's owned by the Wall Street banks. It's not federal, and it doesn't have reserves. But let's make it a real Federal Reserve. Let's give it back to Congress where it belongs, and the U.S. Treasury, the public treasury, not the Wall Street Treasury.
Right.
And every time that public banking is tried, it works. And every time private banking is tried, it fails dismally because they make a mess of it. I wrote about how many recessions, bad ones, medium ones, and so on, have occurred under the Federal Reserve and all the other economic and financial harm that the Fed has done throughout its history. It is a resume of shame if there ever was one. It's time to bring that thing to a halt and put money power back where it belongs, and literally, it's not rocket science, Lance, to create economic growth, and I'm amazed that people who know better can't explain it properly, but it's very simple. to state it very briefly, when the government can create money and put it into the economy and create jobs, and if business is not doing it during a recessionary period, like right now, business is doing what it does to make money, but it isn't investing the way it does during real prosperous times. When business doesn't do it, it's the obligation of government to pick up the slack. There is plenty to be done. The infrastructure is crumbling. Can you imagine how many jobs could be created building bridges and parks and roads and so on? And there are lots of other government activities that could create jobs. And the idea is to create the jobs, get money into the pockets of people. They will spend it. Then business will start regenerating. And then they will invest, and they will need to hire people, and you literally stimulate growth this way, and that's the way it happens. It happens in North Dakota. It happened in America, in colonial America. I wrote about this. In colonial America, the colonies, for 25 years, they had sustained growth, inflation-free, with no taxes, except for tariffs on imports, no income tax. And we could have the same system now if people ran the government responsibly.
That's right. That's right. And you know, you're getting down to the core point, which is the corruption and the powers that be that control everything are so well organized and have such vast resources and are so interconnected and intertwined in their agendas to continue to control and even take over further you know, it's going to require a massive awakening for people to understand the enormity of what's going on so that we can take back the trillions and quadrillions and, you know, how add as many zeros as you want of ill-gotten gains that have been artificially sucked out of the economy through pump-and-dump operations, for instance. You know, millisecond timing by computers can generate millions of dollars daily just by having access to the information before it hits the main computer. So, you know, until we pull the curtain back and look at the wizard, it seems like we're going to have a difficult time making changes at a lower level, even though they have to start at the grassroots.
Well, again, I absolutely agree, Lance. And think of how shocking and disgusting this is. I've seen different numbers, and nobody like you and me, ordinary people, know how much money has been given to the bankers. But I've seen numbers ranging from $9 trillion to $23 trillion. Now, can you imagine if, take the low figure, $9 trillion, if $9 trillion were pumped into economic growth, we would have ended this recession a year after it began, and we'd be sailing along doing very, very well, creating hundreds of thousands of jobs every month. The country would be prosperous. All boats would be lifted. But the opposite has been done, and there's a dark side to the reason why it hasn't been done. What is also going on, and I know this is the case, it's the case in America, it's the case across all of Europe, from Britain to Eastern Europe, especially Western Europe, the idea is to destroy socially democratic states, to turn them into third world countries, literally. I mean, they're destroying the prosperity of these countries. It's more than just bailing out bankers that they shouldn't do. It's getting rid of all the social services where just a few countries in the world have them. Venezuela is the model where they use their oil wealth to benefit everybody. It literally lifts off all boats. It's the way to run an economy, and they have a growing economy. And it works as it's planned to work. It's not perfect. There are lots of problems, but it really has done wonders, reduced poverty and then just all kinds of impressive things for the people. Well, any country can do the same thing, but the idea is to stimulate growth, but the opposite is being done. Yes. Social democracies are being destroyed. And again, this fraudulent idea that you've got to reduce the debt. Well, during hard times, you don't worry about reducing the debt. You reduce the debt during prosperous times when you can afford to do it. But in weak times, pile on the debt. And the more these countries borrow from the IMF or wherever they get their money, the more they borrow to supposedly reduce their debt, the higher the debt goes, the greater the burden they have, and they have to lay off people, they have to cut their wages, they have to get rid of their benefits. I mean, there are riots going on across Europe now.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Well, you know, we can see the results of this. It's a shell game to basically own the world. And once you own the world, all you have to do is just keep, kicking the can, like you said, down the road and increasing the austerity measures. And then when it reaches a certain point, then if you've got the problem of the useless eaters who are no longer needed, which you talked about in one of your shows, about the other agenda, which is not reducing the debt, but reducing the population by a dramatic amount. So we've got all these things going on at the same time, and if people don't start waking up, they're going to be part of that, part of that culling of the population, and none of that will matter.
Well, that is another dirty secret that not enough people know about, and that goes back. Well, I wrote about Henry Kissinger in the early 1970s. He came up with a plan initially to cull 500 million people by, I think it might have been so long ago that I wrote about this, I think it was by roughly around 2000, and then he wanted millions more eliminated annually after that. Here's a guy who won a Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, yeah, well, that if you want to know who the mafia members are, just look at the Nobel Peace Prize these days. Well, now, the ironic thing about that figure of 500 million is if you haven't checked out the Georgia Guidestones, there's a statement in there that says that we shall maintain the population at 500 million. So that seems to infer that a good 600 billion people or more will be unnecessary.
Well, that's right. All the people who don't buy cars and TV sets and computers and Coca-Cola, well, I don't know about Coca-Cola, but the rest of the, many of the products that big corporations make, the ones who don't buy those things are those useless eaters, Lance.
Right.
Those are the ones to get rid of. All they're doing is using up resources that corporations want to get their hands on to sell for a profit. They don't want ordinary people getting their hands on them, using them for their own benefit. So even farmers who just barely scratch out a living, well, I mean, companies like Monsanto want to get their hands on their land so they can infest it with GMO crops, and the farmers who don't want anything to do with that, well, they're bad. You've got to get rid of them to give the land to Monsanto crops to pollute and heaven help us. I mean, this dirty game goes on in so many ways.
Oh, absolutely. I just heard another video about the GMO food and the devastating effects it has on the human body and on animals. And if people don't know about this, it's something that really needs to be, you really need to Google it and investigate it, because it's death. It's just death. And these people that are behind it are absolutely ruthless, and they won't stop until they have every last organic molecule sewn up and owned. And, it's coming. It's coming. And
it's coming. It really is coming. And I absolutely go out of my way, Lance, to try to avoid anything that's GMO.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do, because there are lots of ingredients around that people don't know, because there are no labels. There are no labels to tell you. They don't want to tell you, because a lot of people don't want this stuff. But it really is like eating poison. They're poisoning the food supply with this stuff, and it's outrageous, and they don't care.
Well, here in California, we're voting on I think it's Proposition 37, and that one has to do with putting labels on food to indicate GMO. So that's something that we can do here in California, and there's a huge lobby against doing that. So that's something that we can actually take a little bit of power back and see that GMO gets labeled. And it's a beginning. It's a beginning to find out where it is. Of course, it's everywhere, so it's going to have a ripple effect, and that's a good thing.
Well, it really is.
And then another thing, you know, this business, I was listening to the debates, and they're talking about, you know, expanding oil and drilling offshore and fracking here and doing this and doing that. And, you know, it's known that there's been free energy for decades, if not longer. Tesla had it. It's been developed privately by corporations and government interests. And free energy exists. There have been numerous people who have tried to come out with it, and they either get bought out or murdered. So we've been kept artificially on oil and gas all these years, and the new cars that they come up with, they might get a half a gallon more in mileage, from 31 to 32. Are you telling me that in 50 years they can't design an engine that gets 300 miles to the gallon? And that works on different principles that are not using up our resources? Well, of course they can. And that gets back to the dark side of, you know, the our universe here. We're kept artificially on oil and gas, and, you know, these free energy devices are not going to be released anytime soon unless we start becoming aware of them and start bringing light to the issue.
Not only do they have us addicted to them, Lance, but also they're ripping us off on the price.
I wrote
a number of articles leading up to the Venezuelan election I think 2 weeks ago now, this weekend. So many elections, I can't keep track of all the dates. October 7th? I think it was October 7th. I discovered one little fact. What a tank full of gas of an SUV, and it gave a brand name, but let's just call an SUV tank filled with gasoline, what it costs in Venezuela compared to what it costs in Norway. Well, they could have taken Britain, France, any of the Western European countries, but they picked Norway. And the full tank, I don't know how many gallons it holds, I guess a bunch. The full tank in Norway was something like $393.
Whoa.
And that same tank full of gasoline in Venezuela, are you ready for this?
Okay.
Something like $3.53. They practically
wow.
give gasoline away free.
Wow. Amazing. You know, this all exists and it happens. And there are solutions to literally everything. But the main problem, as we're both talking about now, is that the problems are exacerbated everywhere you look, and at so many different levels that you have to practically be a human octopus mentally to keep track of all the ways that things are being degraded and broken down. But the solutions exist for everything. There's no reason why there should be anybody hungry. And there's no reason why we shouldn't all be just rolling in dough and have free time and not have to be slaves. I don't know what's going to come soon, but it looks like if the riots start in Europe, it's going to be like a chain of dominoes when it hits us.
It really will, and we really could have an equitable society if people who ran the government wanted it to be their way. And again, it's not all that complicated. I mean, the basics are really very simple. You get into the details, it takes a lot of effort to run a business or to run a city or a country. Certainly it does that. But the essence of doing it right versus doing it wrong is not all that complicated. And the governments that we have literally take care of the elites in society, and they dump on everybody else, and it's a terrible situation now.
Yeah.
And in America, Republicans and Democrats are literally in bed with each other. They've already agreed more or less on the cuts that will be made. They're going to hammer Medicare and Medicaid. And during hard times, they're going to take food stamps away from hungry families. Can you imagine that? But there's no limit to how much they'll spend on wars and how much they'll spend on handing out subsidies and whatever to big corporations. More bailouts to bankers if they need them. The banks can get practically free money, and
oh, yeah.
if you try to get a loan, my goodness, If you borrow it on your credit card, you're going to absolutely get ripped off, or a student loan. But the banks can go to the Fed window and get virtually free money in loans.
Yep, that's right.
Talk about an inequitable system. These are the leeches, the parasites that are ripping off society, not just here but across Europe, ripping off society, ripping off ordinary people, and the human suffering is just immense. And the politicians are in bed with the corporate crooks making this kind of stuff happen. And again, the solution starts with getting rid of these damn banks and putting money power back into public hands. But nobody talks about it. The media don't talk about it. The best solutions that work, you never hear anything said. Alternative programs like this on my program, stuff that I write about from time to time, you can get the information there. Still too many people turn their TV set on, Lance, and think they're getting news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head. The television is a huge factor in keeping people dumbed down. But then, of course, so is the fluoride in the water. You know, putting a toxic substance in water intentionally with the feeble excuse that it has something to do with improving teeth. Well, it has no such thing. It was used in one of the wars in Germany to dumb people down. Fluoride it kills brain cells. It just destroys your ability to think. See, it's working on me now. But, television has got to be one of the worst. We've been degenerated to a fast food nation, and there's no nutrients in food anymore. It's dead food. So when you put dead food into a body that's alive, you know, sooner or later you're going to have problems. So,
well, that's absolutely right. And I got very upset about the quality of food many years ago. I became a vegetarian when I read a couple of marvelous books on how our food supply in these slaughterhouses it is just corrupted so badly. I mean, they pump stuff full of chemicals, and they do all kinds. It was sickening reading this from somebody who knew all about it, and he spelled it out in detail. It was literally a horror story, and I became a vegetarian years ago. I never looked back. I also buy organic grains. I know they're not pure organic the way they should, but I buy them, and I eat simply. I try to eat as well as I can nutritionally. If you eat the way I do, it's reasonably inexpensive, not the way it was some years ago, but it's a lot cheaper than doing it the other way. I also believe in living simply. Most people buy stuff that they tire off very quickly. They put it away and forget about it. And they spend a lot of money. It does nothing to enrich their lives. Doesn't make them any happier. And I discovered years ago that just living simply, take care of the basics that you need. I don't feel deprived of anything, Lance. And I don't feed the big corporations. I get what I need. And I would say the only extravagance I have before I started writing, one extravagance was buying books, and I bought most of them used. And now, because of what I do, if I want to get a new book, I can get a publisher to send it to me. Just bring the author on my program and interview them. I get unrequested requests from publishers about an author and a book that they have. I can't accommodate everybody, and a lot of them talk about stuff I have no interest in. I wouldn't bring these people on the program. I'm against what they're for.
Well, you just cottoned on to one of my little secrets. I don't make any money on this program. I do it as a service to the community, but I do get free books from potential guests, and that is kind of I consider that my edumacation at 62. So,
the other extravagance that I have now is my computer. I could not write and do what I do without my computer. I'm not good on computers, but I wanted a decent one. So I have a good Mac. It's not cheap. and every few years I get a new one. So call
right.
it an extravagance, but it's the tool of my trade, Lance.
That's right.
I couldn't do anything without the computer, so it's
yeah.
a necessity. I wish I could talk Apple into funding people like me who are retired and do everything I do gratis on as a volunteer. Would they be willing to give me a computer? I never asked them, but one of these days I may ask them.
Well, you know, as far as I know, Apple is one of the biggest cash-rich corporations in the world. They've got billions of dollars in cash sitting around doing nothing. So, and of course, one of the things that I find a little bit disturbing about Apple is that they, in order to meet the demand for all of their gadgets that they come up with to make money, which sits in, around doing nothing, they construct these iPhones and iPads and the rest in China, and these poor people over there that are paid slave labor and have to work for 10, 15, you know, who knows, 20 hours a day, try to commit suicide by jumping off the roof, and the corporations over there figured that out, so they put nets underneath so that if you jump, you end up in a net. So they've even cut that off. So there are some inequities that need to be taken care of, and you know, people used to get outraged at slave labor. Well, when was the last time you ever heard anything about that subject? Yeah, how about people jumping out of windows to commit suicide because it's so horrible, you know, working 10, 12, 14 hours a day and then having to pay for a little cubicle and then an hour of sleep and you're back to work again. I you know, and that's almost the way it is over here. If you look at America, streets of New York, people dressed in suits, that's no different, really. We're just, you know, look a little different. But it's basically we're all enslaved, and I think that's the basic issue, that we're not free. This is not a free society. We're all enslaved in some way or another. And, you know, it's time for us to really look at that in depth, as you're doing. Thank goodness.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. And another very strong point I make all the time, Lance, is that the people who run our country and the big corporations and their officials, they are working against us. They're not working
yeah.
for us. And
right.
things are getting worse and worse and worse. It seems like every time we have an inauguration of another president, including a second term for a sitting president, things just seem to get worse. But go back to the 1980s. Reagan was worse than Carter.
Right.
Bush was the same as Reagan, so we had 12 years of that.
Clinton
was worse than Reagan Bush. Bush
yeah.
too was worse than anybody that came before him, and
right.
Obama is worse than Bush Jr. And yeah. if Romney comes in, well, he'll be worse than Obama. And,
oh, yeah.
And whoever follows in succession will keep getting worse and worse. America is becoming increasingly a police state. It's virtually one now. We've got wars that never end. We've got poverty that's growing. We've got unemployment that's off the charts. The real unemployment is around 23%, not the
yes.
fake 8.2 or whatever they come out with, the headline number. It's a fake number. It's about 23%. And inflation is a lot higher than they say. GDP is a lot weaker than they say. The state of the economy is dismal. And on Main Street, there is literally a protracted depression going on in Main Street. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And the only way things can change is if ordinary people decide on their own they're not going to take it anymore and they do something about it. In the history of humanity, the only time changes ever came were when ordinary people did it on their own because top officials, government, business, whatever, they're the ones that will never do it for ordinary people. And in the history of America, Lance, slavery was ended in the 19th century because ordinary people made it an issue, and they struggled for many years, and it finally happened. And it was the same thing with labor rights and with civil rights. They never were handed to people. Ordinary people spent years struggling to achieve these rights, and they won them. And the only problem is, sometimes when you win battles, the energy wanes, and you end up losing them. And everything gained in the past in America is lost now. We don't so much have chattel slavery, although some of it is around, and I've written about it. It's more wage slavery now.
Yeah.
But civil rights are all gone. Labor rights are all gone. It's a dismal situation. And again, unless people get in the fight for their own welfare, for their kids, for their grandkids, they're going to lose everything. What are they waiting for? For the hammer to come down so hard that they're literally maybe dispossessed of their home, unemployed, and they can't find a job. What are they waiting for to do something to stop this?
Yes, that's the question I ask myself daily when I look around, and all I can guess is that people are so preoccupied with artifice and bread and circuses, just like other civilizations, the Roman civilization and other empires that have fallen, that they're spinning their wheels on things that don't matter, and it's called divide and conquer. So until people are aligned with these ideas that you and I are talking about now and can see what's going on more clearly as the blinders come off, they don't perceive the problem. They just have this uncomfortable uneasiness that things are wrong and they don't know what it is. Well, let's go have a drink. Let's go to the games. Let's see who the latest star is and so on and so forth. So you're right. The hammer's coming down, and it will come down, because just as sure as you know that all these events are planned, the Depression was planned, those events don't happen accidentally. Those are all discussed in private rooms, and they're organized and orchestrated, just like wars and shootings of presidents and the rest of it. Those things are all done intentionally by the same group of people that have been running the world for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And so maybe the hammer does need to come down. You know, I'm sure that there are people waiting to drop it, and it will fall.
It will fall. It absolutely will fall. I think it's already planned to fall.
I think so.
America is being turned into it's being turned into a third world state. The metaphor I like to use is Guatemala. America is being turned into Guatemala in the worst sense. Deep poverty, high unemployment, police state repression, absolutely no rights for ordinary people, the worst kind of police state with all of the misery associated with it. And that's the plan for America. And it's literally happening in real time. It's going on right now. And and there'll be more social benefit cuts next year. There'll be no let up on the war machine and all the rest of it. But everything that is beneficial to people will be hammered. There are plans in place to do it year after year after year. I think there's a 10-year plan to knock trillions of dollars out of social spending at home, and literally they want to get rid of Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid, and all the other benefits as well, and they want to use this money to wage more wars and hand it to bankers and hand it to other corporations and literally turn human beings into serfs with no rights whatsoever. That's the plan.
That's what I see, too, and if anything, it's even worse than that, because technology is involved, and there's a transhumanist agenda to roboticize all of us, and it started with the movement to microchip people, which people got to be aware of, and so they're microchipping us unawares, and they're starting with corporations and military, saying, you know, if you're not willing to be microchipped, you're not going to be working here. So that's around the corner as well. And then you're living in a virtual world, and you can be controlled from some mainframe underground at some three-letter agency location that shall be undisclosed. So,
well, that's it.
You know,
I wonder how many people, probably all listeners know it, but in the general population, I bet you not more than 1% of the population knows that last New Year's Eve, Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act. Well, that gets signed every year, which is outrageous enough. But there were provisions in it relating to letting the president, Obama, and his successors operate by diktat authority to, on his own diktat, say, I want so-and-so arrested by the military. The military could go after any American citizen anywhere in the world, put them in a military prison, charge them, leave them uncharged, leave them untried, leave them there for the rest of their lives. Whether or not they did anything, it makes no difference. Obama's order alone is all it takes. And, of course, he also has a kill list to assassinate anybody in the world, including U.S. citizens, he wants. How many people know these things? This is let's call it the law of the land.
Right. The law of the rich, as you said, money and power. And they corrupt absolutely. And then, of course, we've got drones. We first started hearing about drones in some of the other countries, and now they're flying drones overhead in America. So pretty soon you'll have a drone coming to a theater near you in your own particular state, flying overhead, and you know, as if we need them. And they have the technology to make them as small as a baseball. So pretty soon we'll have little baseballs. Well, Big Brother is here. You know,
Big Brother is really here. Is Big Brother here? Everything we've talked about today, Lance, I have written something about, including drones over America. I think the plan by around 2020 is to have something like 20,000-30,000 drones virtually covering the entire surface of the U.S. It's really outrageous. And where I live in Chicago is the most surveilled city, I think, in America. There are cameras everywhere. I wonder if you go into a public restroom, whether there are cameras in there. You know, there are little dots that you can't even tell where the cameras are. They're all over the place, on the streets and shopping malls and buildings. I mean, they're watching everybody all the time.
Yep, we are in a surveillance society. It is a fascist dictatorship, and it will take just a breath for people to figure out that there's a very thin veil that is up that shows that we're free, and when that veil is dropped by the hands that are pulling the strings. And the one world government steps in, I think people are going to be in for a little bit of a shock.
Well, that's exactly right. I can't recall the name of the man, but the great analogy that I like to use sometime, I've written about him, but it's been an awful long time, back in the 1930s in Nazi Germany, a man whose name was used and quoted many times, and I have, but it's been a number of years since the last time I did it. And he said things like, they came for the Jews, and I wasn't Jewish, so, I wasn't that concerned. And then they came for the communists, and then they came for the trade unionists, and then they came for the gypsies, and then they came for me. And there was nobody left to take care of, to protect me. Everybody, they were gone. There was nobody left to turn to. And that's what's happening in America. They're coming after all of us. They want to turn us all into wage slaves. They want to strip us of all our rights and benefits. They want to bring the hammer down on us if anybody complains about anything they're doing. And that's the plan for America. It's not the America I grew up in, Lance. The America then, I was born in 1934.
Wow.
I remember the end of the 1930s, and I absolutely remember World War II before television, and things were far from perfect then, looking back. But compared to today, they were heaven. They were heaven.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just the cost of living, what it cost. I remember gasoline at 19 cents a gallon. In the 1940s, post-war, you could buy a very decent home for about $10,000, and if you wanted to spend $30,000, you could get a palace. You could buy a new car. A Volkswagen was my first car in 1960. When I got out of grad school, I paid $600 for it new. $600. In 1952, my freshman year at Harvard, $600 for the full year's tuition. $600. And they had an evening series. And I like to tell this story once in a while. My mother never got a college degree. She always wanted one. And she went evenings. She went for a number of years. And she decided, she speeded up. She took a greater load than I did my last 2 years, my junior and senior years. But you could get a Harvard degree for $5 a course And my mother wondered if she could speed up and maybe graduate at the same time I did. Well, in 1956, in mid-June, my mother and I were together at Harvard Yard in the open, where Harvard always holds its commencement ceremonies, and there we were in cap and gown in the same class, graduating together, and my mother's Harvard degree literally cost $175. Can
wow.
you imagine that?
And
they basically said, you can come free. That's basically what it amounted to. And today,
amazing.
A year at Harvard, $50,000 or something. I don't know what it is.
Oh, easily. You're in debt for the rest of your life, and then, of course.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And if you're worthwhile, they'll pay your debts off for you. But, you know, the strings that are attached, go on for the rest of your life.
You literally can be dead and trapped for the rest of your life, and if you don't pay it off, when you retire, they'll take your Social Security.
Oh, yes, that's right. One of the things I'm wondering about, some people talk about going to another standard, the idea that China is going to, China and Russia and some of these other countries are buying up massive amounts of gold, that silver and gold have been kept artificially low by Citibank and J.P. Morgan Chase and the rest of them, and that there is a private move to pull the rug on the American dollar and some of these other currencies, and go to a gold standard or some other standard. What is your awareness, and what do you think about that?
Well, there is a lot of talk about that, and what some countries are doing right now, Lance, is trading with each other in their own currencies.
Uh-huh.
So Russia, say, and India could trade with each other in ruples and rupees. And
huh.
and China, I think China and Japan are doing some country-to-country trading using the Chinese yuan and the Japanese yen. So there are efforts to get out from under the control of the dollar and the euro. And the idea of a gold standard, I don't know
right.
whether that could come back or not.
Right.
But certainly gold is the universal value. And the only problem is that all the markets are manipulated. In my Wall Street book, I had a chapter on it. Every market, financial, commodity, currency, they're all manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
So they, you know, I mean, if the price would just react the way it should on
right.
its own,
right.
gold could be double the price it is now. But
right.
it goes up, and then they whatever they do, they short gold or whatever games they play, and they can
yeah.
knock the price down. They can do whatever they want to it.
That's
so
right.
so in that respect, you're at the mercy of what they may decide to do. I think in the long run, gold will end up being a marvelous investment, and the dollar, there literally is a plan to depreciate the dollar, and I think Bernanke recently virtually came out and admitted it. They want a cheap dollar to help exports, and they want other countries. Well, they want a depreciated dollar because other countries are increasing the value of their currencies. So they want them to suffer, so their exports will go down and America's will go up. Would other countries play this game? I mean, I don't know whether they would play that game or not, but these are the shenanigans that go on.
Oh, yeah.
And I think eventually the dollar is going to be sidetracked, or there'll be multiple currencies as the world reserve currencies, and it won't just be the dollar. The dollar is the one and only now, and I think at some point down the road, that absolutely will end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to collapse, whether those people at the top plan it or not. And it's a rigged game. So if people think that they can, unless they're insider trading, and even that won't last much longer, I don't think. But if anybody thinks that they can make money on Wall Street just by being savvy, it doesn't work that way.
It does not work that way.
You're on the inside or you're not.
Well, the con artists that say, you know, markets do what markets do.
Yeah.
And
right.
I mean, they're lying through their teeth.
They do what they're told to do.
They do what they're told to do.
Yeah, what they're manipulated to do. And if there's somebody that's powerful enough that wants to be different, they don't even have to lift the telephone. They probably just think about it, and, you know, it is.
Well, they've got these supercomputers, and they're programmed to even be milliseconds ahead of everybody else, so they can make a massive trade in whatever they want, in whatever direction they want whatever they're betting on to go. And if you get in there, you know, a half a second after they do, you miss completely on what they do.
They
can jack the market way up. They can crash it down. They can do anything they want, and you're literally at their mercy. It's a dirty, corrupt game. Literally, the business model of these Wall Street banks is grand theft. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is grand theft. And then if you toss into the mix the various mafia-run situations running through the banks, then you've got a recipe for some pretty shady stuff. And, you know, going back to the Vatican and the World Bank and the rest of it. So it just gets darker the deeper you go down the rabbit hole. And it just seems like it's time for the darkness to be brought out into the light. At least we should know what's going on. And then an informed public can make some decisions about, you know, where we want to go from there. But this, we're going down the tubes quickly. It's like going down the toilet. It's somebody's got their finger on the flush button. And as you said, the hammer's going to fall pretty soon. Max Kaiser talks a lot about this on his website and radio show.
Oh, he sure does. He sure does.
I really enjoy listening to him.
Oh, yeah. I like to catch his program also. Again, it all starts with real information. I mean, people can't know what to do if they don't know what's going on. So it starts with knowing what's going on, and then it's their decision. Are they going to get active to do something about it? Do they realize how this harms them directly? I mean, it really harms them. And do they want to wait until they're literally out on the street without work and losing the? I mean, what do they want to wait for? So it starts with information, and then my feeling is you got to do something about it. And there are all kinds of things that people can do. You could spread the word to others. You can join organizations. And again, I mean, this is simple self-defense. I like to do it by interviews like this, Lance, by my writing, by my own radio program. I'll speak publicly if anybody wants me to do it. This is the path that I've chosen. But and the one path that I refuse to choose is to sit back and do absolutely nothing. People get away with it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I'm with you on that. The radio show, what you're doing, and I'm going to be more active with the writing as well. Getting people like you that are talking about these things and writing about them and bringing them to light, and the other radio show hosts on the internet that are doing so, and there are a lot of different organizations that are global research being one of many. Sooner or later, these little lights will start connecting the dots, and people will start seeing the same information being spread around, and it won't be laughed at and scoffed as a quote conspiracy theory. It's going to be the truth, and that's when and it's difficult for people to wake up and hear what's really going on, because it really is not pretty. And but you know, this is the time. If we're not going to look at it, when you know, push it off to your children and your children's children, then you're looking at Brave New World.
Well, that's exactly right, and it is not pretty at all. I think if anybody could spend some time in a country run by some kind of despotic system, whether it's a despotic monarchy like Bahrain, or whether it's just a despot, whether it's a monarchy or whatever, I mean, you would see how mean and nasty stuff can be there. I mean, just awful. And then compare it to, and just imagine. That if it can happen in these countries, it can happen anywhere. In the 1960s, early 1970s, Chile was one of the most democratic countries in the world, and they had Salvador Allende, and Nixon, together with the generals of Chile, staged a coup and brought Augusto Pinochet in, and they had something like 17 years of holy terror, where people were murdered, anybody who spoke out against the system. They literally could come get you in the middle of the night and throw you in a dungeon or just kill you on the spot. They turned a model democracy into pure despotic hell. And it can happen anywhere. Nazi Germany, the Weimar Republic, a vibrant democracy in hard times, the depression, and so on. And Hitler emerged out of that, got the help from big bankers in England, mm-hmm. and on Wall Street, I believe. And
yes.
Hitler's rise to power, and literally Germany turned from a democracy into a vicious dictatorship. And it can happen anywhere. It can happen in America as easily as it happened in these other countries. And I literally see it from what's going on and what I follow and what I write about, Lance, that it is happening in plain sight, in real time. It's happening more slowly. A lot of it is below the radar. People don't see it, but it's there. It is there. And at some point, I think the next point is the next 9/11 type event. 9/11 absolutely was state-sponsonsored.
Oh, absolutely.
The official story, the big lie, the absolute big lie. But the next 9/11 type event is big, or maybe even bigger. That is when I think the hammer will come down, martial law declared, constitution suspended, and then there'll be no shroud covering it all up. It'll be there in the open to see. Anybody who goes against the system, they're going to come and get you. And it'll be all over for you. I'll be out of business. You'll be out of business. Yep. Anybody telling the truth will be out of business. And that's what's coming. You and I could not do this in Nazi Germany. You and I could not do this under Pinochet in Chile. And the day I fear is coming that we won't be able to do it in America.
That's right. Absolutely right. And I think that's one of the best points you could make. David Icke calls that tiptoe steps to fascism. It just happens gradually like a frog in a boiling pot. Well, the pot is about to boil. And one of my closer friends and a frequent guest is Anilia Benz, and she was over there when the Allende coup occurred, and her family had to leave for England. So she's spoken about that on my radio show as well. So
these
things
dramatic.
Are very real.
Oh, that is really dramatic. To see it firsthand is really dramatic. Well, the stuff going on right now, I just wrote an article about Haiti. I've written many articles about Haiti. Haiti is this kind of situation. I read an awful lot about occupied Palestine. Same thing. And if you were there and if you lived there, you would see it firsthand and just how brutal it can be.
Oh, yeah. In Haiti, aren't they just, they've completely stripped the land of every asset. I mean, people are... As I saw, are wandering around in trash heaps, just digging for some little scrap of food.
Oh, anything they can get their hands on. Imagine living in a country where the poverty rate is 80%. Not ordinary poverty, deep poverty. 80%. 80%.
Yes, that is it's unacceptable. We're coming to the end of the show, so I wanted to make sure that you had a moment to just share any last thoughts and tell people where they can find your blog and your radio show.
Well, again, they can find my blog just by Googling my last name, Lance Lendman, L-E-N-D-M-A-N. You'll find my articles, my radio program, my books. I've got another one in prospect, by the way.
Oh,
it's up to my publisher and editor to decide when it's coming out, but it's a follow-up to my Wall Street book, and the title is Banker Occupation, subtitle, Waging Financial War and Humanity. I think my editor likes that title, so hopefully we'll go with that. I'm hopeful it'll come out before the end of the year, but it's in their hands, and they can do what they want. There's an awful lot in it. My final thought, again, I mean, just the one that we've said on this program, it really is up to us to know what's going on and decide that we have to protect ourselves, because if we don't do it, nobody will do it for us. Let's do
something
before it's too late.
Steve, thank you so much for being on the show, and I'd love to have you back again. And I appreciate it. It was a wonderful show. Thank you so much.
Oh, anytime, Lance. Anytime.
All right.
I'd love to come back.